Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Lamed Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we dealt with the role of the pasuk of Dam Zevachecha Yishofech. We started a series that at the very bottom of Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, where we were using a double underline to emphasize the posuk V'dam Zvorchecha Yishofech, and trying to discover what its role is. The Gemara opened up by suggesting that it may serve as the source of that which is taught in our Mishnah, that the korbanos that are offered, whose blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach of the Azora, which accounts for the vast majority of sacrifices, if one did even one zrikas dam, even though many korbanos call for more, but if one does the minimum number of one, he is yotze. What is the moker for a singular zrikas dam, a singular blood sprinkling, and thereby achieving kapara? What's the source for that? So the Gemara suggested that was learned from v'dam zvachecha yishofech, yishofech being in the singular. To that, the Gemara raised a question, for which we also employed a back and forth marking, a ma'akav as we refer to it, using the triangles with point up, point in the upper part. Then that is a question. With the point flipped over, that will represent an answer. So we saw that the posuk of V'dam Zvachecha Yishofech is used for another halacha, that Shirayim, the residue dam, or the dam that remains after Zrikas Hadam is accomplished, that it's supposed to be spilled at the base of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara answered, and this is the Gemara will answer, and this is the point we're picking up with in today's Shir, the second line from the top of Lamed Zayin Mat Aleph, Nafka Lei, this point of Shirayim Layasod is learned out Mida Rebbe, from Rebbe's teaching, Desanya. The Gemara introduces a Tanaic source, and you can see it's in a frame as we note all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system. Rebbe Oimer. Rebbe says, he cites a pasuk from that deals with a Chatas Ha'of, a bird, a sin offering. It says, "V'hanishar badam yimotzei." She'ein tamed lomar badam. The word badam in that pasuk is extra. It could have said, "V'hanishar yimotzei." The remaining blood in the bird offering shall be squeezed onto the side of the mizbeach. We know what it is referring to. If you would have left out the noun, namely the dam, the word dam, just write nishar yimotzei, it would have been obvious. Uma tamalomer bedam. So why is the word bedam used in that pasuk? Lefi shelo lamadnu elo lenitnin matan dalid shetunin matan domim layesod. The source in the Torah for the remaining dam being spilled onto the base of the mizbeach, the yesod, that's stated by a matan dalet, a four-cornered dam application korban, in simple terms, a korban chatas. Sha'ar domim minayin, from where do you know that other bloods, other types of sacrifices, their blood is spilled at the base? Talmud Lomar Badam. Our posuk of Vanishar Badam Yimotzei, the word Badam, is used for that. Limeid al kol hadomim, this teaches me concerning all korbonos, all the blood from all different types of sacrifices, shetunin matan domim b'yesod, that the remaining dam, after the sprinkling is done, is spilled onto the base. So in the meantime, the pasuk of Dam Zvachecha Yishofech is teaching me the law of our Mishnah, that a minimum of one Zrikas Dam is necessary, but also accomplishes atonement, even though many korbanos call for more than one blood application. Ve'akati lahachi huda'asa. Notice the triangle is with point up, so we're back to a question. And the Gemara is asking, and still is dam zvachecha yishafech here to tell me the idea of one blood application as being the minimum required? Mi boya le lichadetanya. I need the pasuk of dam zvachecha for something else. And we have another source, and it says, minayin lenitnin bezrika shenoslan b'shvicha yatsa. In applying blood to the mizbeach, one method is called zrika. That's where you stand at a bit of a distance from the mizbeach and toss the blood over to the mizbeach from the vessel that it's in. There's another type of application called shvicha, where one stands right next to the base of the mizbeach and pours the blood. So the source here is saying, from where do we know that those korbanos that are designed to be done with the zrika method, that includes an oila, a shlomim, an osham, a bechor, that if they were to be offered, the blood were to be put on the mizbeach through the shvicha method, that he has fulfilled his requirement. Talmud lomar, v'dam zvochecha yishofech. This pasuk is mashma, all korbanos. All korbanos. Shvicha is a possibility. The Gemara answers that as far as our Mishnah is concerned, that needs dam zvachecha yishafech to teach me the idea of minimum one blood application. Savar lo, our Mishnah holds, Rabbi Kiva d'amar, that holds like Rabbi Kiva, that says, lo zrika b'chlal shvicha, v'lo shvicha b'chlal zrika, that these two methods of blood application are not contained one within the other. In other words, that if something calls for zrika and you do shvicha, it doesn't work. Or if something calls for shvicha and you do zrika, it likewise does not work. And we now have a source that highlights this particular machlokas tanoim. And on the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading for this section. They know say zrika is equals meirachok. That's from a distance, as we mentioned before. And shvicha means mikarov, from near, from close. The oimid etzel hayisod v'shofech. He stands next to the base of the mizbeach and pours the blood. We'll see now a machlokas tanoim b'mi sheshina v'nosan hanizrokim b'shvicha v'nishpochim b'zrika. Bezrika. We will see this machlokes tanoim concerning one who changes that which the Torah prescribes. Does one fulfill anyway? The source doesn't deal directly with the action of zrika and shvicha. One will require a little imagination to draw from the source we're about to learn to the topic of zrika and shvicha. The source talks about the bracha that one makes before eating two different kinds of korbanos. That one is the korban pesach, and the other is something known as a chagigas yudalid, which is a type of shlomim that is brought together with the korban pesach on the 14th of Nisan. If one makes a bracha on the korban pesach, does he need to make, and we should mention the bracha, Rashi points out, is the, where one would say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokim Echolam, Asher kitshanu b'mitzvah asov v'tzivanu lechol, either es hazevach or es hapesach. So you have a birchas mitzvah that finishes off with either lechol es hapesach, or if you're talking about the chagigas yudalid, the bracha would end off lechol es hazevach. The source now talks about one who made a bracha on one. Does it exempt the individual from needing to make a bracha on the other? One must bear in mind that the Pesach is done through Shvicha, and the Zevach blood application is done through Zrika. The source begins, Beirach Birchas HaPesach. One made a bracha on the Korban Pesach, which is, as we mentioned, done b'shvicha, which is learned from the pasuk of Dam Zvachecha Yishofech. Potar es shel zevach. He exempts the need for one to make a bracha on the zevach, on the Chagigas Yudalid, which is done b'zrika. So that according to this opinion, which we'll see shortly is Rabbi Shmuel, somehow the Zevach is, as we say, is exempted by the Korban Pesach, which would indicate that the Zevach is a subcategory of the Korban Pesach. And if the Zevach, and of course it's not a real subcategory of it, it's a different Korban. But in the method of blood application, the Zevach, which is done by Zrika, may be, in our mind's eye, contained within the realm of Shvicha. And that's what we saw in the source above, which said that one, from where would we know that one who does Matnas Dam through Zrika, if he does it through Shvicha, he's Yotze. Somehow by doing Shvicha, you can fulfill the Zrika requirement. That would be this opinion, that if you make a bracha on the Korban Pesach, which is a Shvicha type Korban, you thereby exempt the need for a bracha on the Zevach, on the Chagigas Yudalid, which is done through Zrika. However, Shel Zevach lo potar es ha-Pesach. If one makes a bracha on the Zevach, he doesn't exempt the need for a bracha on the Korban Pesach. Divrei Rabbi Yishmoel. The Zevach, which is done through Zrika does not contain within it, so to speak, the Shvicha process. Now we'll see the main reason we're bringing in this source. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo zu poterezu, velo zu poterezu. Neither one exempts the other. Therefore, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, v'dam zvochecha yishofech is not going to be used for that which was taught in the previous Tanaic source where the double underline appeared, the two-line source we saw that. From where would one know that if you did Zrika, a Korban that needs Zrika, and you've done it through Shvicha, that you have fulfilled your requirements? Because Rabbi Kiva would not subscribe to that. Therefore, V'dam Zvochecha Yishafech is still available to teach the teaching of our Mishnah, that things that Korbanos, sacrifices that require multiple Matnas Dam, and if you did one, you thereby fulfill your basic requirement. The Gemara now asks a question, which has some length to it, as you can see by the length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a little triangle, which corresponds to the triangle right here, and a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines form the question. Akati lo'achi hu da'asa. But still, is the pasuk to be used for the teaching of that one matona is enough? I need it for something else. And you'll see a source now with a double underline in it at the end of it. Once again, our pasuk will be emphasized. Let's see what it may be used for, what this very same pasuk is used for. The source says, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Mitoch Shenemar, Ach Bechor Shor, O Bechor Kesef, O Bechor Eiz. The pasuk is talking about firstborn animals, whether they be from oxen or firstborn sheep or goats. The pasuk goes on to say, "Lo yisifteh kodeshem." They are not to be redeemed; they are holy. As domam tizroik al hamizbeach, as chelbom taktir yisheh the reach nichoach l'shem. There is a sprinkling of blood for these b'chor sacrifices. Firstborn male animals are offered as korbanos. So their blood is sprinkled, and their chelev, the chelev type of substance inside the animal that's found in different parts of the animal, is that chelev substance is offered on the mizbeach. So the Brisa goes on to say, lo matnu lebechor she ta'un matan domim ve'murim legabi mizbeach. We learn from here that the bechor sacrifice requires blood sprinkling and innards offered on the altar. Maiser Pesach Minayim, from where do we know that the Maiser Behema type sacrifice and the Korban Pesach also require Zrikas Dam and Haktoras Emurim? Talmud Lomar, that is learned from V'dam Zvachecha Yishofech. So we have the pasuk of Dam Zvachecha Yishafech used up, already taken up for a different limud, namely the source for Matnas Dam by a Meiser and Pesach offering. How can you therefore tell me that it's used for the teaching of our Mishnah that one Matnas Dam is sufficient? The Gemara answers, Savar lo k'Rav Yosi Aglili. Our Mishnah will hold like Rav Yosi Aglili, Desanya. You'll see now a teaching where the source for Matnas Dam of Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach is something other than the Pasuk of V'dam Zvachecha Yishofech. And there, we thereby free up V'dam Zvachecha Yishofech to serve as a source for our Mishnah. So then what is an alternative source for the Meiser and Pesach? Let us see. Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer, Domoi Loinemar. In the Pasuk of Bechor that we just read, was in the Gemara a few lines up, including that which we wrote in between the lines. In that Pasuk, but we'll call it the Bechor Pasuk, it doesn't say Domo in the singular, Ela Domom. Even though the Pasuk is talking about the Bechor sacrifice, it uses a plural expression in saying Es Domom Tizrok Al Hamizbeach. Likewise, Chelboi Loinemar, the Chelev in the singular, it does not say it that way. Elo Chelbom, it teaches about the Chelev offering in the plural. Even though the Pasuk itself is focused on one type of Korban, Ebechor Korban, yet the plural expression appears. Limeid Al, this teaches me about Bechor, Maiseru, Pesach, namely in addition to the Bechor, which is the source or the topic of the pasuk, it includes other kinds of korbanos because of this plural expression, namely the meiser and pesach shetoun matan domim veimurim legabi mizbeach, that they also require blood application and innard offerings on the altar. So at this point, the last triangle, by the way, that we used was an inverted triangle, which according to our key for this sugya represented an answer. So we have an answer that Dam Zvachecha Yishofech is the source for the teaching of our Mishnah that one blood application is sufficient. And if you'll ask, but isn't it used for teaching me something else, namely the Meiser and Pesach blood applications? Don't worry about that. That is accounted for, as Rabbi Yossi Aglili teaches, from the Pasuk dealing with the Bechor, where the plural expression Domam and Chelbom appeared. As we go on in the Gemara is bothered by a technicality that we saw Rebbe Yishmael. He appeared in the last few lines of the Gemara using the pasuk of Dam Zvachecha Yishofech for seemingly two different things. In other words, one pasuk was used by Rebbe Yishmael to teach me two different things, which is not on the surface is something that's not allowed. Meaning that a pasuk, if it's used for a source for point A, that's it. It can't be used for a source for point B as well. Let us glance to the immediate right-hand side of our Gemara text. We have a little star encircled. If you align the stars, we have a total of three of them. The line of Gemara, where this last star appears, starts off with the question of Rabbi Shmuel, Hai Kro. Mapik lei lahochi, mapik lei lahochi. Rabbi Shmuel, can he use the pasuk of Dam Zvachecha Yishofech for this and for that? Well, where did we see this? So just scan up the page. You'll notice the star above is opposite a line where Dam Zvachecha Yishofech, and the author of that source, if you just glance in within the frame, you'll notice the author of that source was Rabbi Shmuel. So he seemed to use the pasuk over there of Dam Zvachecha for the din of Meiser and Pesach, and Korban Pesach, Dam, blood applications. But if you scan up further up, you see there's the source that dealt with the bracha of the Korban Pesach and the Zevach also had Rabbi Shmuel in there. For this particular star, it's very important to note the positioning of it. It's positioned slightly above the line of Gemara. In between the lines, we wrote in that Pesach de Beshvicha nilmad bidam zvachecha yishofech, that the Korban Pesach blood is applied to the Mizbeach through the spilling process, as opposed to the Zrika, is learned from the Pasuk of course, you guessed it, Dam Zvochecha Yishofech. So, the question is, what is Dam Zvochecha Yishofech used for? Is it used for telling me the method of applying the blood to the Mizbeach, of the method of applying the Korban Pesach blood? Or is it used to tell me that there is a blood application for the Pesach and Maaser? If we look in the Rashi, we'll notice under the Gemara of Rabbi Shmuel, High Craw, the Vidam Zvachechi Shofech, Rashi continues, Mapik Lei Lahochi Lahochi Bitmiyah. We read that with wonderment. Dorish Lei Lenitnim Bezrika Shenosnon Beshvicha. He uses that posuk for the teaching of the source, which said those things that are done through Zrika can be done through Shvicha. That's what we saw in the Birkas HaPesach Potar Eshel Zevach source. The Al Korchach Kerebi Akiva Lo Asya, that it doesn't work out according to Rabbi Akiva. The Im Kain Amai Ein Pesach Poter Sazevach Hoyu Shlomim Bichal Pesach Vinami Svirule Le Rabbi Akiva Pesach Bezrika Kerebi Yosi Aglili Kol Shekain Dishnei Pochim Ze Eze The Kodorish Le Su Le Pesach De Beshvicha. For our purposes, what we have to see from this Rashi is that the concept of the things that are done through Zrika can be done through Shvicha, that is learned from V'dam Zvachecha Yishofech. How do we get out of this problem then? Rabbi Shmuel seems to use the same pasuk of Dam Zvachecha Yishofech for two things when that cannot be done. The Gemara answers, Trei Tanoi Valiba de Rabbi Shmuel. There are two Tanaic opinions that are reflecting Shitas Rabbi Shmuel. In other words, those who are quoting Rabbi Shmuel don't appear. They quote Rabbi Shmuel himself. But it really is a function of two unnamed later Tanoim that are giving their own versions of Rabbi Shmuel. One holding that Rabbi Shmuel learns that Dam Zvachecha Yishofech teaches me the concept of those korbanos that are done through Zrika. If you do it through Shvicha, you're Yotze. And the other version of Rabbi Shmuel, the other Deah, the other opinion of Rabbi Shmuel holds, that Rabbi Shmuel learns from Dam Zvachecha Yishofech that Maaser and Pesach have Matnos Domim. The Gemara continues, Bishlamo Rabbi Shmuel, Demoikim Lei Kulei Bebechor, Hainu dichtiv ubesoram ye loch. The source containing Rabbi Shmuel that spoke about using the posuk of Ach Bechor Shor, which was Bamidbor Yudches Posuk Yudzayin, that posuk is the source for the Matnas Dam for Bechor alone. And that Maaser and Pesach was learned from another pasuk, namely V'dam Zvachecha Yishofech. So when you look at the pasuk of Ach Bechor Shor, etc., that was taught by Rabbi Shmuel that pasuk serves as a source for Matnas Dam and Haktoras Chilev for the Bechor alone. So that makes sense. That's what the Gemara is saying, that uses the entire pasuk of Bamidbar Posuk Perek Yudzayin Posuk Perek Yudches Posuk Yudzayin, who used that Posuk for Bechor. The next Posuk Yudches says Ubesorom Yeloch. Now that's a Posuk that was said to Aharon, the Kohen Gadol, and the Posuk is saying, is declaring that after you do the Matnas Dam and Haktoras Chelev of the Bechor, you, the Kohanim, will get the flesh, the meat. It's a matnas kohen. It's a gift to the kohanim. El Rabbi Yosi Aglili, the moikim lei nami b'maiseru pesach. But according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who was the next source we saw in Ephraim, who used that very pasuk of Ach Bechor Shor, namely Be'amidbor Yudches Pasuk Yudzayin, which contained within it the use of the plural expression Es Domom Tizrok and Es Chelbom Taktir, to explain that that pasuk is expansive, namely, it's not limited to Bechor, but it deals with the Meiser Behema and the Korban Pesach as well. How do you explain the following pasuk, Pasuk Yudches, which indicates that whatever was said in Yud Zayin is a gift to the Kohen, which it's not true. Meiser and the Pesach is something that the owner benefits from, not the Kohen. So let's see this question in the Gemara. Halo Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Demoiki Lei Nami B'Meiser Pesach. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who uses the pasuk of Domam and Chelbam to refer to other korbanos as well, not just Bechor, Meiser Pesach Bailim Achli Lei Mai Ubisorim Yel Loch. Those korbanos, the Meiser and Pesach, which were seemingly the subject, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, of that pasuk, are something that the Bailim, the owner, eats, not Aharon. So how do you explain the fact that Pasuk Yudches says that their flesh, there's a pronoun referring to them, a plural, seemingly applying to the Meiser and Pesach as well, and it says it will be unto you, to Aharon, to the Kohanim, which is simply not true. The Gemara answers that the Pasuk Yudches that speaks about their flesh in the plural, of the flesh of those korbanos, will be to you, to Aharon, is a plural expression, however, not covering Pesach and Meiser. Rather, Echod Tam ve'Echod Ba'al Mum, whether it be a Bechor that is unblemished or a Bechor that is blemished. We made Al Bechor Ba'al Mum Shenitan LeKohen. This Pasuk teaches me that a blemished firstborn animal is also given to the Kohanim. Hence you have the plural covering Baal Mum and Tam, Tam meaning unblemished, that all of those are given to the Kohanim. Shalomot Sinu B'cholatera Kula. We don't have another Pasuk in the Torah that would account for a Bechor Baal Mum being given to the Kohen. So that this Pasuk of Bamidbar Perek Yudches, Pasuk Yudches, will account for that. Rabbi Shmuel, Nafkolei mi lecho ye de seifa. Rabbi Shmuel will learn the idea of a Bechor Baal Mum being given to the Kohen from the end of the of Pasuk Yudches, where it says lecho ye. The Gemara goes on with this back and forth analysis between shitas of Rabbi, of the analysis of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Shmuel, by saying right now, Bishlam Rabbi Yossi Aglili, this point is long. So we've indicated this through a length marker. To the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, you see the word Bishlam with a vertical dashed line. All of these lines are designed to explain or present this particular point, that things are comfortable or work out well according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. However, at the end of this, the Gemara will then lapse into Rabbi Shmuel and ask Elul Rabbi Shmuel, what does he do with whatever we're about to learn? This squiggle underline marking we use often to highlight the names when the Gemara shifts back and forth between two opinions. We saw the use of this marking on Amud Aleph, five lines from the bottom, where we squiggle underline Bishlam or Rabbi Shmuel. Things had seemed to work out more smoothly according to Rabbi Shmuel, and then we ask, what about Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Here, interestingly, things work out better for Rabbi Yossi Aglili, as we're about to see, and the question will come up with regard to Rabbi Shmuel a few lines from now. So let's continue. Bishlamo Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Demoiki lo nami b'maiser u'pesach. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who used the pasuk where the pasuk that seemed to feature the Bechor, but since there was a plural, Domam and Chelbam, the pasuk includes Meiser and Pesach as well. Hainu dechtiv, loy sifte, kodesh heim. That was, of course, in the same pasuk, that you shall not redeem them because they are holy. Haim Kravim, the Ain Tmurasan Krava. This pasuk was a has a limitation in it. Hain, they are offered, but their tmura is not offered. In other words, if a person attempts to replicate the sanctity of these korbanos, of the bechor, the meiser, the pesach, on something else, the tmura, the replication, the replicate korban, is not offered. Before we go further, we just want to glance at the side of our Gemara. We have an Oseya topic heading, which we've entitled Mekoros, Sources, Lefi Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Shmuel, the Tmuras Maisru Pesach Eino Kreva, that replicate sanctities of a Maisru and Pesach are not offered. By the way, in general, replicate sanctity sacrifices, where you replicated the sanctity on a second animal from an original sacrifice or sanctified animal, the replicate animal is offered. This Gemara is presenting a somewhat exceptional korbanos, where the tmura of them is not offered. Tmura being the replicate animal. So as we started the Gemara, we see that things work out well according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, that the pasuk is used to include pasuk, that is perik Yud Ches of Bamidbar, Pasuk Yud Zayin, is not limited to the Bechor alone. So I understand from this Pasuk that there is a source for the non-offering of their Tamura. This non. And now we have a Tanaic source that contains this information about the Tamura of these Korbanos not being offered. The source says, Tamuras Bechor U'Maiser, replicate animals, replicate sanctity animals. If one tried to replicate a Bechor or a Meiser Behema, the source says, Hain, the animals themselves, the Tmura itself, Uvlodon, Uvlod, Vlodon, and their offsprings, all through the subsequent generations of these animals. Once you made an animal, a Tmura of a Bechor or a Meiser, Ad sof kol ha'olam, all future generations of those creatures, harei hein kebechor u'maiser, the yochlu b'mumon lebailim, they're treated like a bechor and maiser, and they are not offered, but rather they are left to graze till they develop a mum, and the owner eats, the slaughters and eats them. So this, so far, we see the law of the tmuras bechor and meiser not being offered, but left till they develop a blemish and eaten. Once again, non-offering. Utnan, in Maseches Psochem, there is a Mishnah that mentions that a tmuras pesach, a tmura of the korban pesach, is also not offered. Omar Rebbe Yoshua, Shamati, Shetmuras Pesach Kreva, Utmuras Pesach Eino Kreva, V'ein Li Lefaresh. Rabbi Yeshua says that he heard two opposite halachas regarding a replicate of a Korban Pesach. One version is that it is offered, and the other version is that it is not offered. For our purposes, we're most interested in the expression that it's Eino Kreva. The Rashi reveals the two versions that he heard, and this is something that will be dealt with a little bit later in the Gemara, but one refers to the replicate sanctity after the Pesach, after the Yudalid Nisan. If one had a Korban Pesach around and he tried to replicate the Kedusha after Yudalid Nisan, that in fact would be offered. But if one did a tmura of a mice of a Korban Pesach before Yudalid Nisan, that would not be offered. That will be also alluded to later in the Gemara. Suffice it to say right now that things work out well according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that said that the pasuk in Bamidbar Yudches Yud Zayin is not limited to Bechor, but rather deals with the Meiser and Pesach as well. Hence, the pasuk that says Lo Sifte Kodesh Heim, which is in that same pasuk,
which serves as a limitation that only the original sanctity versions of those things are offered, but their tumura is not offered. That's very good. We have a source then for tumuras, meiser, and pesach not being offered. El Rabbi Shmuel demuki le kule b'lechor, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, who establishes that Bamidbar Yilches Pasuk Yitzayin is limited to the Bechor, Maisru Pesach Belo Kreva Tumurasa Minole, from where will Rabbi Shmuel learn that Maisr and Pesach, their replicate sanctity versions, are not offered? The Gemara answers, Maisr, and we've used some lettering here to keep track of what we need to discover. We mentioned, we have written in an Aleph above Maisr and Beis above Pesach, where we introduce the question of how do I know that their tumuras are not offered. Here we reuse the Aleph, corresponding to the Aleph just above. This deals with the Maisr, and the Beis will deal with the source for the Pesach, that its tumura is not offered. Maisr gomar evra evra mi bechor. The din of Maisr behema, that the tumura of a Maisr is not offered, is learned through a word comparison using the word evra, or ya'avor. And you have, in the case of the Maisr behema, it says, kosher ya'avor tachas ha-shevet. Rashi quotes this. And by the Bechor, the Pasuk says, v'ha'avarto kol peter. The shoresh of the word, ayin, beis resh, serves as the basis of the word comparison. Pesach, the Gemara continues, Pesach behedya kosav bei kesev, ma tamulomar im kesev. By the Korban Pesach, we know that the word kesev appears. What is the purpose of teaching im kesev that's written by a Korban Shlomim? Le Rabois, this comes to include tumuras ha-pesach, achar ha-pesach, shetikrav shlomim. It comes to include that if one replicates the sanctity of a Korban Pesach that he happened to have around after Yudalid Nisan, that Tumuras Pesach is then offered on the altar as a Shlomim. Might be noteworthy that a Korban Pesach after Yudalid Nisan changes identity in a manner of speaking, and it's offered and treated as a Korban Shlomim. Therefore, if I do a Tumura of a Korban Pesach whose basic identity became a Shlomim, after Yudalid Nisan, the tumura also will be offered as a shlomim. Yochol af lifnei haPesach came. Could that be the case with regard to a tumuras Pesach before Yudalid Nisan? Talmud lomar hu. The pasuk uses the expression hu, a limitation word, indicating not so. That this is the case, by the way, that we were citing before, under Rabbi Yeshua's name, of Tumuras Pesach Eino Kreva. V'chol hanoch tanoi demafki lei lahai dam zvochecha yishofech lidroshach rino. We saw a number of Tanaic sources on Omid Aleph that we're, through our markings, it's pretty easy to spot this because we've double underlined all of the appearances of dam zvochecha yishofech. We saw it being used for a number of other teachings. Hi, kol hanitnin, the din of our Mishnah, kol hanitnin al mizbeach hachitzon shenosnon b'matona achas shekiper, that all those sacrifices, which we said accounts for the majority of sacrifices that are offered on the outside altar, the altar in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, that if one does a singular but application, even though they may call for more, that the single dam application is sufficient to attain atonement, minah lahu. Where will they know that point of law from? Answer, savri lahu kebeis hillel. They will hold, like shitas beis hillel, the amri af chatos she nosno matona achas kiper. They will subscribe to beis hillel's approach that says that a korban chatos, even though the Torah accounts for four matnos dam, four blood applications. However, if you do one, it is sufficient. The alfinan kulu mechatos. Once I've established that the chatos has, that it is sufficient for a singular blood application, And that, by the way, has its own source. Rashi makes an allusion to it. This is a reference to the appearance of the word chronos several times, which will be the subject of the upcoming Gemara. But since Chatas has its own source for a single blood application as being sufficient, even though the Torah calls for more, once the Chatas is established, we then would say we'll learn all the other korbonas from the Chatas. The Chatas will serve as the precedent. As we continue in the Gemara, we look, glance at the side. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading. We have a diamond featured. Makoros Lamachlokis Beis Shammai Ubeis Hillel B'Mispar Matnas Adam Sheme'akev Eitzel Chatos. Sources for the opinions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, who had a disagreement concerning the minimum number of blood applications required for a Korban Chatos. According to Beis Shammai, we saw in our Mishnah, two are required. According to Beis Hillel, even one blood application will suffice. Turning to the Gemara, it's important to note that in the opening piece of this Gemara, you'll see a Roman numeral number 1 to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text in a diamond. This is opposite Rav Huna's name, who also appears in a diamond. A Roman numeral number 2 will appear at the upper part of Daf Lamed Chesam and Aleph. If you have it available, you'll notice 5 lines from the top, a Roman numeral number 2 in the diamond. These represent the two schools of thought as to what the sources of the Machlokis Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is. Let's begin now the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, my time with the Beis Shammai. What is the reason or the source for the Shita Beis Shammai that says you need a minimum of 2 matnas dam by the Korban Chatos? The Gemara cites a word from different psukim. The 3 words, chronos, 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 are words that appear in 3 different sections of the Torah dealing with the Korban Chatos. Korban Chatos, of course, that's done in the Azorah. In the Korban Chatos that's brought from a kisva, a sheep, and there's a Korban Chatos that's brought from a goat. The 3 parshios that we just referred to, one is found by the Soyer Nasi, and 2 are found by the private Korban Chatos. By a private Korban Chatos, we mentioned that it's brought as a female sheep or female goat. By the Soyer Nasi, it's brought by a male goat, the Korban Chatos of the Nasi. In 2 of the Parshios, the word appears without a vav in it. It says al-karnos, but it's spelled without a vav, so it could be read karnas. However, for the approach that we're going to take to Beis Shammai, let's just repeat that point. In 2 of the 3 parshios that refer to the sin offering, in 2 of the 3, the word appears without a vav. However, Beis Shammai doesn't emphasize the fact that it's missing a vav, but rather emphasizes the way it's read, and it's read as a plural. So if you have the word chronos, it's a plural, minimum of plural is 2. Add up the 3 times that the word chronos appears or is read as a plural. The Gemara says, Hare kan sheish. That equals 6. 3 times 2 is 6. Now, everyone knows that the Mizbeach does not have 6 corners to it. Arba'a la mitzvah. 4 of the 6 represents the best way to do it, the mitzvah way, the lechatchila way, namely 4 corners should have a dam application from a korban chatos. However, ushtayim la'akev, if you're not going to do 4, you must do a minimum of 2. That is what the balance of the six chronos comes to teach me. Once again, we have six chronos referred to, six corners, if you will. So the six is divided into four and two. Four teaches me the way it ought to be done, the mitzvah way. And if you don't do it that way, so the other two are there to teach me the essential or the binding, that which is binding, without which you wouldn't achieve kapora. Ubeis Hillel, Beis Hillel doesn't emphasize in his approach the way the pasuk is read, but rather he would emphasize the way the pasuk is written. So we have three parshios, three sections dealing with in which chronos was mentioned. In two of the three sections, the word appears in the singular. Hence, we would read it as follows, namely the way we're reading for the purpose of learning the Daf Gemara, not the way it's read in Shul, not the way it's read when you're reading from the Sefer Torah. So Beis Hillel looks at the words as follows. Karnas is a singular. Karnas also a singular. Chronos, one of the three parshios, in fact, has it written with a vav in it. It's written in the plural, so that will account for two. So we have two times singular, that's two, and one time plural, another two. Hare kan arba. That accounts for four corners. What does Beis Hillel do with this? He says as follows. Sholosh lemitzvah, v'achas le'akev. That ultimately, you should do four. However, only one is me'akev. Only one is essential. The additional three represent the best way to do it, the mitzvah way. Don't misread the Gemara here to say that three is all you need for the mitzvah. It means an additional three is what you would want to have in order to do it the best way. An additional three in addition to your basic one. The Gemara asks, V'eimo kulhu l'mitzvah, why not say that all of the blood applications, all four corners, is the best way, but as far as me'akev is concerned, you don't need any. The Gemara answers, kapara b'chdi lo ashkechon. We don't find one achieving atonement b'chdi through nothing. There is through no blood application, one would not be able to achieve atonement. Therefore, a minimum of one is needed. The minimum of one to achieve atonement, an additional three for a total of four blood applications, that would constitute the mitzvah. The e-boyes emo hainu taimo de Beis Hillel. There is another approach, which we've indicated with our markings. We have a little bays over here because the Aleph was written in a few lines up where we presented Beis Hillel with the Karnas Kronos approach, saying three were lemitzvah and one is ma'akev. Here we have a second approach to Beis Hillel. In this approach, Beis Hillel is not denying the reading approach we call Yesh Eim Lemikra approach. He takes it into account, as we will see shortly. Beforehand, in the Aleph approach, he was reckoning only with the way the word appears, not the way the word is read. The Iboy Seimo Hainu Taimo de Beis Hillel, the Gemara says, Ahani Mikra, the Ahani Masores. The Mikra, which would result in six, as we mentioned, the way the Pusuk is read, the Chronos, in the word karnas in the Torah is read with a vav in it. In other words, with a cholam, which is the O sound. Chronos, which would account for six. So the six has an effect. Ve'ahani masores, which the masores is the way the word appears, which led up to a total of four, also has bearing. And this is explained. Ahani mikra l'tfuye chado, the six has an effect to, in effect, add one, and ahani masores livtsure chada, and the masores has an effect of subtracting one. What do we mean by all of this? So what comes out is that the Torah, either way, either through Mikra or through Masores, you are having, there's a minimum of four that's accounted for. Is there a repetition of corners? If something is repeated, there's an expression you find in the Gemara, Shino lov hakosuv la'akev, something, when repeated, shows me that it is binding. Things that are repeated in the Torah, procedures, different mitzvahs that are repeated, depending on the context, of course, the repetition oftentimes is to tell me that it's not only an expectation, only a mitzvah, but it's also something that is binding. Let's take a look at the Rashi, Vahani Masores, Demashma Arba. The Masores is the way the words appear, not the way they're read, which is the Masores of these words, the tradition, the traditional way they're written would account for four. Hilkach, Tofi Chado Amasores, Ubotzir Chado Mimikra. Therefore, the seeming discrepancy between the Mikra and the Masores, we saw six accounted for by the Mikra and four accounted by the Masores, they have a joint effect. In other words, the result being that we'll add one to the Masores and subtract one from the Mikra. Fahavu lehu chomesh. This results in five corners. So if you have five corners and we know the Mizbeach has only four, Nimtza Shishino Be'achas, it comes out then that the Torah is in effect repeating one. The fact that one corner is repeated, this tells me that one is Me'akev. And that's, in fact, Shitas Beis Hillel. With this approach in mind, the push and pull effect, between the Mikra and the Masores, that it serves to average out, that instead of simply adding two, you take the average, we saw adding two and subtracting two, you come out with an addition of one. If we attempt to apply this approach to other places in the Torah that this appears, what are we going to make of it? This question appears several times because in different parts of the Torah, this push and pull effect between the way a word is read and the way it is written, which accounts for a discrepancy in numbers, this appears several times. Taking a look at the side of the Gemara, you see a triangle and the expression Elo Me'atu in quotation marks. If you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll see two of these over here, two Elo Me'atos in triangles, and at the top of Lamed Chesam et Aleph, the third line from the top, you'll see again Elo Me'ato. The note that in our outside margin, which features the triangle, we've indicated Elo Me'ato. These are Kushios al Hatam Hasheni leBeis Hillel. Questions on the second approach that we presented to Beis Hillel, namely Ahani Mikra of Ahani Masores, where the Mikra and the Masores both have an effect on the numbers. So let's see the questions as they appear in other places. The first question deals with the mitzvah of tefillin. Elo Me'ato. The next word, you see it's written without a vav in it, but it's read as if it has a vav in it. So you have l'tatfas l'toitofois. Hare kan arba. Tatfas is in the singular, so you have two times singular, and the word totofos is in the plural. These are words that many of you are quite familiar with, that are found in the Kriya Shema, that deals with the tefillin. Specifically, the tefillin shel rosh. Hare kan, by reading it in the literal fashion, in other words, the way the word appears, the Masores way, Hare kan arba, you will account for four. If you read it the way it's supposed to be read by reading from the Torah, or the way you read it from a Siddur, you would have six, because the word letatfas is read as letotofos. So you would have three times two. That's six. The Tefillin Shel Rosh, we ought to note, is made up of four compartments. So are we to say the following? Hare kan arba. We read, we came out to four, and we know that four was a result of the Masores way, the way of reading the way of approaching psukim according to the way the letters appear and not the way it's read. But we know at the same time that it's with the actual reading you do account for the plural. Ahani mikra vahani masoros. Are we going to say, just like we said just above with regard to the corners of the Mizbeach, that here too you have the mikra having an effect and the masoros having an effect, so that the mikra would add, the mikra would subtract one and the masoros would add one? What we meant by that is that if you start with the masoros, with the mikra, you would have six. That's really an addition of two. So the mikra has an effect of reducing that addition of two from six down to five. So are you going to say chamisha boti boi lemevad, that tefillin have to have five compartments? We know that's not so. Tefillin have four compartments. The Gemara answers, as far as the issue of tefillin having four compartments, we don't use these words in their multiple appearance for that purpose. Savar lo k'Rabbi Akiva. This approach will hold, in other words, the issue that's being raised of the how do you account for only four compartments, he will learn from Rabbi Akiva. Like Rabbi Akiva, Diomar, that takes the word totofos and breaks it into two parts. Tat bekaspi equals shtayim. The word totofos, according to this approach, suggests that it's a compound word in the Torah whose meaning can be deciphered by the knowledge of other tongues, of foreign tongues. The word tat in the Kaspi language is shtayim, means two. Tat is two. Pas, be'afriki, in the African language, the word pas equals shtayim. So that by having the word totofos and understanding that for us, for the Hebrew speakers, for people knowledgeable in Hebrew, maybe these words are not in use anymore, but when the Torah was given, the words tat meant two, and the words pas meant two, and these other nations preserved the meanings of those words in their languages. So for us to discover our roots, so to speak, our roots, that means linguistically, we to discover what our language is really saying, we consult these other languages and see that totofos is a compound word meaning two and two, for accounting for four compartments. The Gemara asks, well, what about with regard to the mitzvah of sukkah? Elameata. You have the same phenomenon happening where the word sukkos appears several times, but in a couple of the places, though it's read in shul, it's read from a Torah in the plural, it appears in the written form in the singular. So you have the following, besakas, besakas, besukos. Are you going to say the following, ahani mikra, ahani masoras, that the mikra has a reducing effect, and the masoras has, let's correct ourselves, the mikra has an addition, an adding effect, and the masoras has a minimizing effect, and you would come out with the following, chamisha dachnesa boi lemevad. One would require to have a five-walled sukkah. We know that's not the case. A sukkah ideally contains four walls, not five. But if you are going to learn like we did the second method of Beis Hillel with regard to the blood applications to the Mizbeach, you're going to come out with a five-walled sukkah. The Gemara now answers, we don't have a five-walled sukkah, because the presence of the extra walls, so to speak, that is accounted for by the plural expressions are used up for something else. That is what's explained here at the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, Hosam, in the case of sukkah, Dal Chad Kro Kulei Lugufei. Take away one pasuk from our accounting system. If we got up to six, take out one of the words to Because that one pasuk is legufei, is teaching me that there is such a thing as mitzvah sukkah. It's not there for numbers. It's there to tell me about the existence of the mitzvah. That would leave me with four walls, or the word sukkos, accounting, the remaining sukkos words in this scheme would account for a total of four walls. V'chad l'schocha. One of the remaining sukkos, in the sukkos being plural, so one of the two would account for the schach. The schach is the covering, the branches that are used to cover a sukkah. The branches, or that's a simple explanation for that which is used for a sukkah covering without getting into details. Poshu tlas. There now remain three. Asoy hilchisa. An oral tradition comes along and tells me that of when you have a sukkah of three walls, one of the three, let's say the third of the three walls, doesn't have to be very large. The oral tradition comes along and reduces the size of the third wall to a tefach, a hand breadth. Namely, the basic Torah sukkah can be two complete walls and a third wall being basically a post measuring a tefach. So, at this point in the Gemara, the second approach to Beis Hillel before in the topic of the Matnos Dam, Legabi, the Mizbeach, where we saw that Kronos accounted for six, and Karnas Kronos accounted for four, and we said, Ahani Mikro, Ahani Masoras, to get me to one Me'akev and four Lemitzvah, that approach stands. The fact that we see similar approaches in other mitzvahs, which would lead to distortions of those other mitzvahs, the answer to that is the performance of those other mitzvahs being tefillin and sukkahs, the proper performance of those mitzvahs has separate sources. Therefore, we don't have to worry about the issue of ahani mikra and ahani masoras by those mitzvahs. There is a third issue that comes up, Elo Me'ato, if you are sticking to your guns, so to speak, by the case of the Matnas Dam, that you say Ahani Mikra and Ahani Masoros, what are you going to do in the following? The Pasuk says regarding a woman who gave birth. After she gives birth, she experiences a period of time that she is Tamea. After the birth of a female child, we know in practice she experiences a 2-week period of time that she is Temea, during which time she is forbidden to be with her husband in an intimate fashion, and she's also forbidden from eating holy type of food items, korbonos and truma. The pasuk in the Torah, when describing 2 weeks, it's written as if the number 70 appears, shivim. That word is spelled without a vav in it, shin, beis, ayin, yud, mem. However, it's read as if it does have a vav, a shuruk vowel named shvuayim. So let us keep in mind that shvuayim means 2 weeks, that's 14 days. If you were to look at the word as it appears, the way it's spelled, without taking into account the way it's read, you would come out with shivim, 70. So you've got, on the one hand, the way it's read, you would come out with 14. Ironically, in this case, as opposed to the cases before, the cases before we saw that the reading resulted in the greater number. In this case, the reading results in the lesser number. Shivuim is 14, and Shivim, as we said, that would be the way the word appears without taking into account the way the word is written. That would account for 70. So if you were to take the numbers 14 and 70 and apply the principle of Ahani Mikra and Ahani Masoras, that we take both into account, you would add 14 and 70 and take the average of the two. So if you add 14 and 70, you get to 84. You take the average of the two, you get to 42. 42 is the midpoint between 0 and 84. Are you going to tell me then that a woman after bearing a female offspring, a female child, will be tamea, will be in a state of ritual impurity for 42 days? We know that that's not the case. So how are you going to explain the appearance of these two words and not come out to the same conclusion of Ahani Mikra and Ahani Masores? The Gemara, Elameyato. If this be the case, that we darshan, in the case of the dam application from Mizbeach, Ahani Mikra and Ahani Masores, the Tamo Shvuayim, Shivim. As we mentioned, the pasuk is read as v'tamah shvuayim, that she is tamea for 2 weeks. However, the word in the Torah is written without the vav in it, and it would be written as if it were 70. Ahani kro v'ahani masores. Are you going to tell me that the kro of 14 is to be accounted for, and the kro and the masores, the tradition of the way the pasuk is written, namely 70, is also to be taken into account? And if you take both into account, that would say that the mikra subtracts from the masores, and you would calculate that by adding the two and dividing them. Arboim utrein bayolam esav, would she be required to sit in a state of tumah, to remain in a state of tumah for 42 days? We know that's not the case. How then is it that we know, or what is our source for saying that she's tumea for 14 days, and not for 42 days? Then when it says shiny hosam, the case involving the yoledes, the woman giving birth, is different. Dichtiv keni dasa. The pasuk in describing the woman giving birth is described by the term keni dasa. Now we know that nida is a seven day period of ritual impurity, so that we know that the Yoledes, her period of ritual impurity is something similar to the Nida period, which is maximum 14 days, namely the basic Nida period is 7 days, so that the amount of time that she's Tamea can't be too much more than that. Rashi explains this as well. Shiny Hosam, Dechtiv Kenida Sa. Rashi says, Mashma Shelo Yoran HaKosov Leminyan Yomim El Leminyan Shvuos. The Torah is not using a number in describing the childbearing woman in terms of days, like we said, 42 days. No, the number of the tumah period is being presented in a weekly number. Shehanida shvua achas. The nida woman is tamea for 1 week. V'hayoledes shvuayim. The Yoledes, the childbearing woman, is Tamea for 2 weeks. Shima Tomer Shivim, if you're going to suggest that the Masores is to be taken into account for, you would be saying 70. 70 is a number that's Hiflato. You have distanced yourself. You've exaggerated Mitoras Nida Harbe. You've distanced yourself extensively from the Nida. Avokshata Omer Shvayim, when you say that she's Tamea 2 weeks, Kerafto Lutoras Nida, you have drawn her close to the way we deal with Anida. Anida being a 1 week period, the Yoledes being a 2 week period, the word Shvuayim meaning 2 weeks. And we discount entirely the presence of the word Shivim, 70 days. True that 70 days is mathematically 10 weeks, but it's not a word that has an allusion to weeks. The word nida has an allusion to weeks in the sense that we know that anida is tamea for a period of 1 week. Therefore, the yoledes is also tamea for a period of time that is described by a term referring to weeks. Hence, the emphasis is exclusively on the reading, shivuayim, and we don't take into account, in the case of the childbearing woman, the number 70 whatsoever. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.